And I want to begin by sharing with you today two stories, though, about kids. Now, one of them, the first one I want to give, I really had to reach back in the old memory banks, way back to a time and a place early in my ministry in Falls City, Nebraska. Now, one of the things about Falls City, Nebraska is if you were to try to drive there, like say this sermon just interests you so much that you want to go check out Falls City, Nebraska, you almost can't get there from here. That's how far and isolated Falls City, Nebraska is. But we had this custom there, and where each week, all of the children of God would meet in the sanctuary, you know, from those aged from 1 to 100, all of the children of God who were there, they would meet in the sanctuary, and they would all together take part in our corporate worship, you know. They would sing songs, and they would give of the offering, and they would pray around the family altar, very much like we do things here today. You know, really not much difference in it at all. And each week as I concluded prayer time, there was this little guy, this little special needs guy, and his name was Alex. And he would beat me to it. Right when I was getting ready to say amen, he would jump up and shout with great enthusiasm, amen. And then he would jump up and he would go out those doors right there that would lead down into the basement into children's church. I mean, I was there for 2 years, 11 months, and 14 days. And I preached just about every one of those Sundays that I was there. And Alex never failed to say my amens for me, if you will. The second story comes by the way of Pinckney, Michigan, and the death of a friend's dog. I grew up with this guy named Kevin Donovan, and Kevin had a wife named Claire, and they also, Kevin and Claire had this old lab that was every bit a member of the family as their two kids, Denise and Mike, were. And as all dogs do, you know, this dog's name was Belker. He grew old and he became weaker and weaker. Finally, he grew sick, and everyone knew that the dog was dying, but they just, you know, wanted that Belker was part of the family, and so they took him to the vet, and all the while they were praying for a miracle, you know, but for Belker, there just were no more miracles left in his life. And that evening they brought him home and they tried to make him comfortable, but it wasn't long that Belker slipped quietly into death. And, you know, as I said earlier, death never really comes at the right time, right? It's always, if you will, an imposition, isn't it? It really always is. And the family had been wondering aloud why dogs don't get to live as long as humans do. And they had a son, you know, Mike, and he was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. I really can't remember. But I do remember the story because, man, for a long time, every time there was a family get-together, which Cindy and I were included in a lot of those, they would retell the story of Belker's death. And Mike, he just kind of set everybody straight, you know, about why dogs don't live as long as humans. And he said, people are born so that they can learn how to live a good life. Like loving everybody and being nice. But then Mike said this, dogs already know how to do that. So they don't get to stay here as long. And I tell you these stories this morning to remind us of how incredible kids are. I mean, they really are. And they're so loving and they're so trusting of us and they're so accepting of us. And indeed, they're so perceptive. Last week, I talked about how some of the best theologians around are kids under 12. But this is why Jesus said, whoever doesn't enter the kingdom of heaven as a little child will never enter into it. You know, I spent quite a few years ministering and studying in Colorado Springs. And while I was there, I had, you know, this great privilege to minister as a chaplain at Memorial Hospital, right in the center, right across the street from the Olympic headquarters, the United States Olympic headquarters, right on Boulder Avenue. And we were at this meeting one night, and the head chaplain, Mike Norris, told a story about how on a certain Sunday he had baptized a 7-week-old baby girl. And the next day, the baby suddenly stopped breathing and went limp and began to turn blue. And the parents, you know, they began to, you know, do CPR on the baby, and they rushed her to the hospital. They didn't even wait for an ambulance. They just began doing, you know, CPR, and they rushed to the Memorial Hospital. And the staff there at the hospital, when received the baby, did a great job, and they got her breathing normally again. And then, believe it or not, the next day, this baby was sent to her home. And the astounding thing is that she was as healthy as she could be. Now, if that was the end of the story, you're probably wondering, where does that fit into the message this morning? And it's not the end, because 4 years later, that little girl and her mother drove by Penrose Hospital, which was the hospital that she was taken to. And this little girl pointed to the building and said, "Look, Mommy, look, that's where Jesus came to get me and brought me back." Now the mom was stunned, and she pulled the car over and made the little girl say it again. She said, "That's where Jesus came and brought me back." Now, the shocking thing about this story is that the family had never told the girl about the day she got really sick. The family had never even told her about Jesus. And in fact, the family had never taken that child back to church since the day that she was baptized as a 7-week-old. But Mike Norris, I remember him looking at me and smiling. He said, "But they're in church now." Friends, I tell you these stories because I think there's something here that we need to get. We need to get that the day that little girl told her mother what Jesus had done for her had changed that family's life, had changed that family's direction forever. See, it had brought that family back to Jesus Christ. See, it had brought that family back to the fellowship of believers, back to the church. Now, I honestly can't. I don't have the answers. I can't explain to you how this little 4-year-old can remember what happened to her as an infant, except simply just to leave it in the hands of God and to say that all things are possible with the God of the universe, that there's nothing impossible for God. See, for me, this story reaffirms the promise that God will always be here for us. See? The promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. See? In the good times when everything's really going well, and in the bad times when things are rough, God will be there with us. I want us to know today that he is here watching over us in this life, and he will be watching over us in the life to come. See? See, this is our faith. See, this is why we gather here. See, this is our hope. To reaffirm that Jesus is always here, and that he saves, and that he transforms, and that he makes all things new. The one little thing we got to do is accept it with a childlike trust. See? We'll never know all the reasons why or how or when he does these things. We just need to accept that he will never leave us or forsake us with a childlike trust. And that's when we know. See, that's when we really know the blessed assurance that Fanny Crosby and Phoebe Knapp wrote about, and that we sing about, and receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. All those years ago, Jesus stood up and said, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Now, you're my friends. I love each and every one of you guys dearly. And I don't care how old you are today. I don't care what's going on in your life today. There are many, many childlike qualities that Christians would do well to embrace and to cherish and to hold on to all the days of our lives. So I want to take a moment and just point out a couple of them. You know, it'll only take us a little while. But the first one is this. Maybe this is one of the most important ones for us. It's on the screen. That children have this awesome ability to enjoy life. I mean, did you see the way they ran out to children's church? A simple act of going to children's church, and they were running out of here like they were at a carnival. They have this awesome ability to enjoy life in all situations. Man, kids are excitable and excited, and they have this zest for life, and they have this eagerness to enjoy new things, and they have such bright delight. Whatever you want to call this thing that kids have, they have it. And I think that we should have it. As children of God as well, we grow up and we grow out of it, but maybe we should be growing up and growing into the childlike zest, right? As children of God. Kids have the ability to see life as a great party, and they celebrate the fact just that they're alive, that simple fact. You know, I think this is a great Christian quality. You know, I have this friend that I spend a lot of long minutes with, and her name is Paige. And she is the life of the party. Her life is a party. And I like to party with old Paige. Have any of you guys partied with Paige? So you know what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, as some of us grow older, we lose this great blessing, and I'll kind of explain it like this. Robert Fulghum, he wrote a book, and it was entitled, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And it explains this study that followed a group of kids from kindergarten through their college years. Now, in their first year of school, the question was asked, how many can draw? Now, every one of those kids raised their hands. I can draw, I can draw. Well, what can you draw? They shouted out, anything. I can draw anything. Now, 20 years later or so, that question was asked them as college seniors, and only a small few answered, I can draw. And the ones that did qualified their answers by saying, well, I can only draw cars, or I can only draw houses, or I can only draw trees. And I thought, why the limitations? What's going on here? Why did they feel the need to qualify their answers? He kind of just said it like this, what went wrong? Well, when Jesus said in Mark 10, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. He had to be thinking, at least in part, this, don't give up on life. Don't sour on life. Don't lose that childlike ability to celebrate life. See, friends, what we're celebrating today on this Palm Sunday is the fact that Jesus gives us new life. The fact that Jesus gives us new spirit. Jesus gives us new heart. Next week, we're going to be baptizing people that are going to be proclaiming that Jesus gives us new birth. So if we get all of these things from Jesus, then why in the world do we fail to live like it at times? Man, we need to celebrate the gifts that Jesus gives us. I guess in other words, let's live like it. I'm gonna ask you something. Never lose your zeal for your family. Never lose your zeal for God and your church. and cherish and treasure what you have and help pass that along to others starting today. See, children, they have this wonderful ability to look at the world with wide-eyed wonder. And children have this cool ability to trust. See? In one Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty, they're leaning up against a tree. And Dave, if you could give it one more hit. There they are. They're leaning against the tree, and it's a beautiful spring day. And Peppermint Patty says to Charlie, "Chuck, what do you think security is?" And Charlie Brown says, "Security? Well, Patty, security is sleeping in the back seat of the car when you're a little kid and when you bend someone with your mom and dad and it's nighttime and you're riding in the car and you can sleep in the back seat and you don't have to worry about anything. Your mom and dad are in the front seat, and mom and dad are doing all the worrying. They're taking care of everything." Peppermint Patty smiles and says, "Man, that's really neat, Charlie Brown." But then Charlie, he begins to get a little serious. And the look on his face becomes furrowed, and he raises an index finger, and he says, "But, man, it doesn't last. It just doesn't last." He says, "Suddenly you're grown up and it can never be that way again. Suddenly it's over and you don't get to sleep in the back seat of the car anymore. Never." And Patty gets this sad and scared look on her face and asks, "Never?" And Charlie Brown responds, "Never." Then, grieved with the harsh realities of life, Patty says, "Hold my hand, Chuck. Hold my hand." Loved ones, I want you to listen to me for a moment. The good news of the Christian faith is that we always have someone to hold our hand. Always. The word "never" does not exist in this context. You see, Jesus came into this world to save us. See, Jesus came into this world to sanctify us. See, Jesus came into this world to redeem us. Jesus came into this world to deliver us. Jesus came into this world to strengthen us. The good news of the Christian faith is that we always have someone to hold our hand. Always. And to assure us that we're never alone. We never have to face the harsh realities of life alone. You know, I have a prayer for our church. I have a vision for our church. You know, I kind of think, I say, I want this, but you know, some really, that's not the right way for me to say it because it's not what I necessarily want, but it's a vision or a desire or a hope or a prayer, however we want to just kind of frame this next statement, that it would be great if our church could be a church for children of all ages. See, it would be great if our church could be a church that cultivates and encourages those special childlike qualities. See, it would be great if our church could be a church that had the ability to see the world with wide-eyed wonder. The ability to trust God and to hold on tightly to our Creator's hand. Friends, we talked about conquering the past for life in the future. If we're going to do those things and move into a bright future, we got to have the ability to trust God and to hold on to His hand tightly with wide-eyed wonder. So as we work through this Passion Week, may we just consider this the week of the child. Next week we'll be baptizing, well, it looks like three children, a big children with a beard, and dedicating a baby. But to think and to live out a child's awesome ability to celebrate life and to wonder and to trust. Perhaps each day we could reflect on developing a more childlike qualities in our life and in the our relationship to the world around us. Most of all, maybe we can just think about how we can make one child's life better, no matter what their age is. Amen?